You ever heard the saying about a person, they're so heavenly minded that they're not fit for earth? That's not the way the Lord would have us to be. When we're heavenly minded, He wants us to be fit for earth. And here in the book of Ephesians, we see that truth as it is really brought to bear on our lives. Because in the book of Ephesians, we have our position in Christ outlined to us and explained to us and expounded to us in probably the most wonderful form, the entire Word of God. The book of Ephesians is sort of the pinnacle of our position in Christ, really takes us to the heights of what we are and where we are in Christ Jesus, seated in heavenly places with Him. And yet, when we get to the last three chapters, it really brings us back to earth and zeroes in on our practical day-by-day living. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? What does a Spirit-filled person do? Is that somebody who rolls around on the floor or jumps over pews or speaks in tongues or dances, or what is a Spirit-filled person? Is a person who's Spirit-filled a person that doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't cuss, doesn't smile, or what? You know, what is a Spirit-filled person? Well, Paul gives us the exhortation to be filled with the Spirit of God, and then he shows us the evidences of how this is going to be manifest in a very practical, down-to-earth way. Wives in submission to the husbands, husbands loving the wives as Christ loved the church, children obeying the parents in the Lord, for this is right, honoring the father and mother, fathers not provoking the children to wrath, servants obedient to your masters, masters treating your servants in a proper type of way, knowing that your master is also in heaven, and so on. He brings it back down to earth. How we are to function in the body of Christ, forgiving one another, loving one another. And so, again, the Bible is a very practical book and gives us practical instruction for our day-by-day living and of every area and every aspect of our life. I believe it touches on the chief aspects of this. And so we looked at this somewhat this morning. I just want to briefly touch on some of the points that we mentioned this morning, so that we can refresh our minds in this, and then we want to go on to a couple of other things about the Christian and his job, or the Christian and their job, or whatever sphere of activity you might find yourself in, whether it be in the workaday world, when you're out on the job somewhere, and whatever type of capacity that may be, or whether it be in the home, there caring for your children and the things of the home, whatever it might be. It's important that we see the importance of these everyday responsibilities and everyday relationships that we all have to fulfill to one degree or another. Now, I want to say this first of all. I do think that there is place for full-time, what we call full-time Christian service, somebody who's separated to the work of the gospel, so to speak, or the work of the Word of God, or a missionary, and this type of thing. There definitely is a place for that, and I think that the Word of God does teach this to us. But again, I say, by and large, the majority, the bulk of Christians, the majority and the bulk of people who know the Lord Jesus Christ are not going to be those who are employed by the Lord in this manner. They're going to be those who are working what we call a regular or an ordinary job in the workaday world that we live in. And nevertheless, there is a place in the service of the Lord for those who serve the Lord in the capacity of a missionary or one who is a preacher of the gospel and this type of thing. There is that place for that. Whatever position we find ourselves in life, as far as working is concerned, I do think it is important that we seek the will of the Lord above all, that we honestly seek out God's will and search God's will for our lives concerning our job and our place of employment. I think it's especially important for the man in a marriage type of relationship or of a family type of relationship to seek that out. The principles established in the Old Testament. Remember the 2.5 tribes that came short of entering into the land. They said, we want to have our inheritance on this side of the river. And by choosing that place that was falling short of what God had intended for them, they exposed their family to unnecessary dangers, and they exposed their family to the enemy that was in the land, and they exposed their family to all sorts of things. So when the husband is involved in trying to find a job or trying to locate himself according to his employment, it becomes especially important that he seek the Lord's will about what the Lord would have him to do. But of course, that goes for any of us. That goes for any of us who are working or are fulfilling a particular occupation, to seek the Lord's will. Too many times we just look at other factors. What's the job going to pay? How many hours am I going to have to work? What type of work is it? But I do think that first and primary, we need to seek out the Lord's will. But now, we talked this morning about the importance of our job as a Christian, just from the sheer fact of the time element that is involved. The average person is going to spend almost half of his waking or her waking hours on some type of job or doing some type of work. That's true for even a housewife who probably spends more than half of their waking hours doing the thing that they are doing from day to day. And it's certainly true of anybody else as well. Not only are we going to be spending that much time, but we're going to be spending our prime time. Your prime time, your prime energy time is going to be expended wherever you're working from day to day. Your prime energy is going to be spent, for the most part, on your job. And this is where we talked about the conflict that many people have, because they look at their lives, they look at their job, and perhaps their job is to them not a meaningful job, or they do the same thing over and over, and they get to thinking, here I am, I'm putting all my energy, I'm putting all my time, all my effort, all my life into this job, and I'm not really serving the Lord, except maybe on weekends or on certain evenings during the week. But you see, we saw this morning, and I think we'll see again tonight, that the Lord is the one who has called us to whatever sphere of service we're in. If you're on a particular job and that's where the Lord wants you, then you are serving the Lord Christ. And that's the thing that Paul wrote to the slaves in Colossae. He said, you serve the Lord Christ. Whatever sphere that you find yourself in, employed in, he said, you're serving the Lord Christ there. So whatever your job might be, however mundane it might seem, however boring it might seem to you at times, remember that above all, this is the sphere that God has placed you in, and you are serving the Lord there. And the only question is, how are you serving Him? Are you serving Him well, or are you serving Him poorly? Where you're called to your job is your mission field. It's where God has placed you as a light in the world. It's where God has placed you to be a testimony to the ones that Paul called in Thessalonica, those that are without, those that are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where God has called you to. And we talked about the problem of always thinking that the mission field is over there somewhere, when by and large, for the majority of the Christians that we know, the mission field is wherever you are. That's your mission field. That's where God has placed you. And now, all right, what about somebody like a housewife, though? They say, well, I do my work in the home. I have very little contact with the outside world. People don't see me. I'm not around people when I'm actually working. I'm not working under somebody, but yet still, you see, you're serving the Lord Christ in that sphere that you're in. You're setting an example for your children. And also, it becomes of even more importance of your attitude when you are around other people. Do they see you as just another person who complains about having to take care of kids and do all the normal things that a wife or a mother usually has to do, that's involved with raising a family, taking care of a house and these kind of things? Or do they see you as somebody else? Do they see you as a different type of individual who joys in the sphere of service that God has called them to? And joys in the pleasure that comes from knowing that I'm serving the Lord while I'm right here in my home. And that God is taking note of every diaper that I fold, of every pot that I scrub, and of how I do it, and of my attitude. You see, the Lord takes note of this, and it says that in Ephesians in chapter 6 there, in verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. It says, with goodwill in verse 7, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So it doesn't matter whether men are watching you or not. Your service is still as unto the Lord, no matter where you are and on your job. But of course, those who are out in the working world will be seen. And you know, if you're not careful, you'll get caught and sucked up right into the flow of what's happening in the world and the attitude that pervades most working places that are out there. When I used to work at a place here in Jacksonville, you just automatically, when you walked in at 7 o'clock and punched the clock to start working, it's just automatic flow of complaint began to come out. You know, people just automatically began to complain about the job, about the foreman, about the conditions that we worked on. And you began to wonder, you know, why are they even working here if they've got that many complaints about it? I'm not saying that there weren't some legitimate complaints, but the thing as a Christian you've got to be careful of, if you're not on your toes and spiritually aware, you'll get sucked right in that thing too, and you'll start complaining. And you'll find yourself walking in the counsel of the ungodly, as in Psalm 1. And you'll pick up the tune right along with them. And you'll be complaining about the job and the employer, forgetting the whole time that it's the Lord Christ that you're serving. And if you've got that job that He has placed you there in a strategic position, He wants to use you there to bring glory and honor to His name. He wants to use you to show that the Lord Jesus Christ makes a difference in lives individually on a day-by-day basis. He wants to use you to show that Jesus Christ is a reality in your life, not just at 11:30 on Sunday morning, or 6 o'clock on Sunday night, or 7:30 on Wednesday night, but that Jesus Christ is a reality in your life on a day-by-day basis, where you work, where you live, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord wants people to see that reality of Himself in your life, in whatever sphere of activity He's called you into. And that's why it's so important that we realize the importance of our job and forget this notion about dividing up our lives into the secular and into the sacred, as we talked about this morning. You know, we're doing the sacred when we come to church, when we read our Bible, when we hand out a tract, but any time else we're doing the secular, and that's not the way it is. The Christian life is one total, complete life that the Lord has called us to. And anything we do, it says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and according to the will of God and to His honor and to His glory. So yes, while you're working your job, you're serving the Lord. That gives meaning to your job. That gives purpose to your job. It's no longer just the boring, the mundane, because you're serving the Lord Christ of the universe. You're serving the Creator by the very things that you do. And it also makes you more conscientious, because if He's your real employer, you want to do your best. You want to do your best. And that's why the Scripture says don't just be men-pleasers. Don't just work when the boss is watching. Don't just do it with eye service, just when somebody's looking. Do your best, because the Lord is always looking. And He's the one that you're working for. And that's a true mark of spirituality. Somebody that can work and do their best when nobody else is watching. A true mark of maturity is a person who can work when nobody else is around and get the job done and do what they're supposed to do. That's a job. It takes discipline. It takes maturity to be able to work without supervision, is basically what it is. Are you the kind of person that can work like that and get the job done and do your best at it without having to have somebody constantly stand over your back and watch you and tell you every move that you got to make? I know that to a certain degree, we all may have a problem there, but it's a mark of maturity that we should be striving for. And when you realize that it's the Lord you're serving, it'll help you to strive towards that mark. When you realize that whatever sphere of activity He's called you to, day by day, you're serving Him, and you're doing His service, and you're doing His will. And so, you don't have to have that anxiety that comes by saying, oh, if I could only be a full-time Christian, or in full-time Christian service, a term that the Bible knows nothing about, we're all full-time Christians, we're all to be full-time Christian servants. If I could only go to the foreign field, if I could only do this or do that, then I could serve the Lord. And God says He wants you to be that full-time Christian in whatever sphere of activity that you're in. And this is where we said that God is going to do two things, especially two things, or three things. Number one, this is going to be the chief place where God develops character in your life, in the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where God develops character in your life. You see? That's why you need to realize that when those setbacks come from day to day, from time to time in your job, when that other person gets that promotion that you feel that you rightly deserved and you should have had, when you get your boss gets on to you for something that he really didn't have any right to, when you don't get that raise that you feel like you've got coming to you and that you rightfully deserve, when whatever those setbacks come along that might be, these are the things that the Lord uses, I believe, to develop character in us, to bring us to the point of maturity and to use as a point of testing. And the job, I think, is the greatest place, whatever job you have from day to day, to learn to die to the old self-life. Because it's so easy on that job for you to assert your old self-will. We even have programs today in a self-assertiveness, how to be more assertive, how to learn to assert yourself. And you see, all the time, we need to learn how to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and let Him exalt us, contrary to the principles of the world. The world says, now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be ambitious. I'm not saying that we shouldn't strive to do our best, that we shouldn't seek advancement. Certainly we should. But we shouldn't be the kind who will do anything and walk on anybody to get there. And that's the principle that the world operates on for the most part, especially in the business world. Doesn't matter who you walk on, people are just stepping stones to get up a little bit higher in life's ladder. And that's not the way for the Christian. Christian sometimes has to be willing to bow down and let somebody else climb the ladder. Maybe he's a stepping stone for somebody else to climb up. But the Lord teaches us in this. And the Lord uses this. And of course, the testimony of the Christian on the job is very important. Now, the thing to remember is that another thing that we mentioned this morning is that the Lord wants on the job 24-hour Christians in our total lives. And that when you're in what we call secular employment, you are serving the Lord there. You're not a second-rate Christian because you're not a preacher or an evangelist, or a missionary. You're not a second-rate Christian. This is the place that the Lord has called you to. This is the place where He wants you to be. And this is the place where you are serving the Lord. And so, remember that as you do. Now, I just want to look in Ephesians 6 here. I want to start at verse 5. And remember that when we see here it says servants and masters, we make the application of employees and employers, because that's basically what the application would be to us today. Servants, again, in that day, were not just people who worked in the fields or did a manual labor task. Many times the servants were better educated, the slaves of that day, many of them were better educated than the masters that they served. It just happened to be the position of life that they had either been born into or bought into or through battle or some other type of means had been drafted into. They were slaves. And so, but many times they were better educated, had more knowledge than their masters did. And nevertheless, they found themselves in this type of position. servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Now you see, that implies that there are masters according to the flesh, that is human masters, but there's other masters that transcend that. Especially, I guess properly we should say there is one master who transcends the fleshly relationship. Now he's your master according to the flesh, serving with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Now isn't that a concept to try to grasp? How do you view your employer? You know, in the average world, isn't it easy to get caught up in the attitude that the employer is the bad guy? He's the bad guy, whoever it might be. Now maybe it's a firm, or maybe it's the city, or maybe it's whoever's directly over you. But they're seen as the one that is the bad guy. And how does the Bible say to see him? The Bible says, look at your employer just like he's Christ. Basically, that's what it says. It says, work for him just like you're working for the Lord. That he's standing in the place of Christ over you on your job. And you're to serve your employer with singleness of heart as unto Christ. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ was standing there and you wanted to serve him, that's the way you serve your employer. Now that's a phenomenal thought to think about and to really grasp. And of course, if you work in that type of job where you don't have anybody immediately over you, I think the application is just the same. You're working as unto the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever job, whatever activity that you might be in. Just like you were in the hire of the Lord Jesus. Just like he hired you to do a particular job. Do your job just like you do if the Lord Jesus Christ came up to you and said, I want you to do this job. Here, I want you to take care of this typing for me. Or here, I want you to build this house for me. Or I want you to dig this ditch for me. Do it just like he was asking you to do it. I want you to cut this yard for me. I want you to do whatever it might be that you do. Do it just like it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself who had asked you to do that job for him. That'll make a big difference. That'll make a difference. And remember, it says, not with eye service as men pleasers. Boy, it's easy to work just when the boss is looking. That's when we really start working. You know, everybody, here comes the boss. Get busy. You know, look busy. Here he comes, you know, and everybody really starts working then. That's being a men pleaser. That's doing eye service. The boss is coming. Look busy, everybody. You know, that was the thing on a lot of jobs that I worked on. And the Bible says no. You're, again, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You see, it all develops from the inside out. It's that inner man, it's the attitude of that inner man, the spiritual being in you, that says, I'm on this job and God has placed me here and I'm doing his will by working at the job that I'm on. And I'm going to do this to the best of my ability, not because I get a nice fat paycheck at the end of the week or a little skinny paycheck at the end of the week, but because by doing my job, I'm serving the Lord where he has called me to. I'm his servant, and I'm going to do his will. There it is again. These past 2 weeks, we've answered two questions that go with the big question that everybody always asks. How can I know God's will? We looked in 1 Thessalonians last week. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. You should abstain from fornication. Set apart unto God. That's the first place we realize there's part of his will for us. What's the second part of his will? With doing the will of God from the heart on your job. Serve, do on your job, work on your job like you're serving the Lord Christ. You are. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. As to the Lord and not to men. Now you see, here's the answer that the United States of America needs. Part of the problem in the labor world in the United States today is lack of productivity. The American worker just doesn't put out like he used to. And that's been, cited as one of the major problems in industry and in labor in the United States of America today. That the worker just does not put out like he used to do. And here, almost 2,000 years ago, is the answer right here in the Bible. You don't have to do any analysis or research into that to find out. Here it is right here. If the 60% of Americans that claim to be born-again Christians would put this principle to work on the job, we'd see some productivity. We'd see a man give 8 hours when he's getting paid for 8. Or a woman give 6 hours when she's getting paid for 6. Anything else, you're just stealing. If your boss is paying you for X number of hours, if he's paying you for 8 hours and you only do 4 hours work, you're stealing from him. That's all it is. Stealing. Now everybody else may look at you and say, well, the boss isn't around. How come you're still working? How come you're doing, you know, working so much like that? He's not looking. But you see, when you realize these principles, that you're serving the Lord, you're not doing your services on demand. You're doing it because the Lord is watching you. You're doing it because He's going to reward you for your faithfulness in the area to which He's called you, which to the largest degree is wherever you work from day to day. And that's just simple mathematics. As far as time-wise is concerned, that the largest block time of our life basically is spent there on the job. There on the job from day to day. That's going to be the primary field that I think that, and there again, we think, well, we're not really serving the Lord there. We're not handing out tracts. We're not preaching. We're not witnessing, every moment of the day. We're not praying. We're not doing this. But you are serving the Lord there on that job. You see? You're witnessing for Him right there. And that's where He's called you. And that's your mission field. And you'll be rewarded for your activity there, knowing that whatsoever, in verse 8, whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And then there's a word for employers, too. Masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is the respect of persons with him. He doesn't care what your position in life might be, how high up you think you are on the ladder. You've got a master in heaven. You ever worked for somebody who thought that there was nobody else over them? They were the top and there was nobody else over them and they were sure to let you know it. That you couldn't get any higher than them. Oh yes, you can. There's somebody who's over them. You see, and as a Christian, we need to realize that we have a master in heaven. If we are an employer, we have a master in heaven. And we are to work according to Christian principles as well. Forbearing, threatening, it says, knowing that your master is in heaven and that there's no respect of persons with him. Now, one important thing that I want to talk about for a minute, back in Daniel in chapter 6, we won't turn there now, but if you'll study the life of Daniel, and for the sake of time we're not turning there, if you'll study the life of Daniel, you'll see, I think, there are some applications that will apply to your life here. Just study the man Daniel. Here was a man who was, by the Lord, placed in the world, in Babylon, in a position to which he had to occupy, right there in the world, and yet a man who still had his heart right with the Lord and served the Lord, and served his earthly master well too, and yet served the Lord too. There was a lot of secrets to the reason that Daniel was able to be the kind of man that he was. One of the secrets is his secret place. One thing that was known about Daniel was that he was a man who 3 times a day lifted up his heart to the Lord and prayed. 3 times a day. The secret place. I think that's a key to our lives and how we function on the job. 3 times a day. We're not setting any rules or regulations. I'm just giving you an example and giving you something from the scripture that I think will work in your life if you'll apply this to your life on the job. 3 times a day. Why does that fit in so well with our schedule? Well, because we've got to get up, we've got to go to bed, and normally during the day we take a break at some time or another for lunch or for whatever it might be. And you can use these times on your job by beginning your day, committing yourself to the Lord in the morning as you arise, before you begin your job, maybe even while you're laying there in bed as your eyes first open, if you'll get into the practice of committing this day to the Lord, realizing that as you go forth into that world or into whatever sphere of activity you're in, you're going to be serving the Lord that day. You're going to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Commit that day unto Him at the beginning of the day. The beginning of the day. Commit yourself unto Him and whatever you might be doing. And then, many times during the middle of the day or lunch break for most people, that's a good time for examination. Look back on the first half of the day. See where the problem areas might lie. See if there may be some people that you've offended or wronged in some kind of way. Maybe there's some things you need to clear up. See what you did right and maybe what you didn't do right in the first half of your day. The middle time of the day is a good time for examination before the Lord again. Just to stop and to look at your day. And then, sometime at night or after that, is a good time to stop and to review the activities of the day. To look back on your day and see maybe areas that need adjusting or areas that need correcting or areas that need working on. You see? Stop and communicate with your employer. Stop and get some advice from headquarters. Review your job plans and your work with your employer, the Lord. You see? Have those meetings with Him. Conference that you need to discuss the details of your job in that day. So begin your day, examine your day, and review your day. Now something else that will help you on the job, Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3. You notice again in verse 17, and this is why I say that as a Christian, you cannot divide your life into different compartments and say, I'm going to serve the Lord on this day, and I'm going to do the will of the Lord on this day. I'm going to do religious things, sacred things on these days, and the other days I'm just working for an earthly master. So in verse 17 in Colossians 3, it says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then he covers every the major headings of all the relationships that we'll ever come in contact with. Husbands and wives, children and parents, fathers, servants, masters. Every relationship that we can think of comes under one of those categories in one way or another. That will affect our lives in some kind of way. And so he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all. Notice in verse 23, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And here again, I say that really must have shocked those slaves at Colossae when they got that letter. Oh, it must have been a terrible thing to be a slave in that day. And as they got that letter, can't you just see them? Thank you. You mean me? Nothing but a slave? No rights? No money? No nothing? And the menial task that I do from day to day, I am serving the Lord Christ? And that's exactly what Paul is telling them. Yes. You're serving the Lord. You're a Christian now, and whatsoever activity you do is done and is to be done as unto the Lord. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. You're His. You are sanctified. And you, that means you are set apart for the use of the Lord. So that whatever activity that you do, it should be done, and it is something that is being done for Him. And certainly should be something that we can do in the name of the Lord Jesus and something that is honoring and pleasing unto him. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance, you serve the Lord Christ. Now, this will help you. In verse 15, he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace, number one, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, the word there for rule is the same word that we would use for the word umpire. Let the peace of God be the umpire in your heart. As you work on your job, whatever you do during the day, during your working time, your activity, let the peace of God be the umpire in your heart. Let it be the one that balances out those feelings and those emotions and those troubles and problems that arise. Let the peace of God be the one to keep them in their right place and be umpiring them and keeping them where they should be. Let him work out those, let the peace of God be the one that rules those conflicting feelings that arise from the job and from our activities in the day. Let the peace of God possess you in that way. And be thankful. And as I said this morning, as far as employment is concerned, if you've got a job, you've got something to be thankful for. You've got something to be thankful for. If you have a job of any kind, you've got something that you can be thankful for, as far as that's concerned. And if we'll just look, there's so much. How do we stop complaining so much? Be thankful. Just start and stop and think for a moment. And it doesn't take long to realize that there is something that you can be thankful for. There's lots of things if we'll just stop and look. And then, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that's the key. That's the key. That's the key to it all. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell, abide, be down at home in you. Let the word be perfectly at home in you and in your life. The word of Christ dwelling richly in you, feasting upon the word of God. You need it, especially we all need it desperately, but I think you need it especially desperately if you're out there in that working world. If you're out there in the world, you need to come to the labor of the word for that cleansing that the word of God can provide. You need to come to the word and feed and feast upon it to strengthen yourself for that daily experience out there in the working world. You need to be taking in the word. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's got to be a lot of it. You can get a little of it and let it dwell in you richly and meditate and feast upon the fullness of it and carry it with you throughout the day. The word of God, we need it. And that'll help you on the job tremendously. Those two things. And then I think a couple of other things to consider. Try on your job to, instead of being a miserable Christian, there's enough miserable people in the world, be a ministering Christian. See your job as something that the Lord has called you to do. Do it well and seek opportunities whenever they arise to minister. To minister. How can we do that? Number one, I think we can do that by listening. Listening. Be a good listener. People like that. People like somebody who will really listen and pay attention to what they have to say. And listen. You can pick up on where a person is at spiritually usually by just listening to their conversation. You can pick up on where a person is at by just listening to how they talk and what they say. Be aware. As you listen, pray. Pray that the Lord would reveal areas that you could be of help in. Pray that the Lord would use you to be a help to them, to minister to them, to serve them in some kind of way. And then encourage. Be an encouragement to people in whatever kind of way that you can on the job. Seek to help them and encourage them as you're there on the job. And then, of course, look for opportunities to evangelize as you allow the Lord to use you. And I don't mean to evangelize in a way that you have to, every time you see somebody, jump down their throat and shove a Bible up under their nose and say, you better get saved now. Now, there may be a time for that. Some people, it may be all that it takes, but by and by, that's not the way. I don't think that the Lord would have us to do it. I think as we live our lives out on a day-by-day basis, the Lord is going to lead those people into our lives. There'll come a time to speak, and when it is, it'll be the right time. It'll be the time that He opens up. And when we don't have to worry about keeping up a batting average or a scoreboard of how many people we saved this week, you know, we don't have to worry about that, then we can allow the Lord to use us and be led of the Spirit of God in our witnessing. And I think that's so important. I think that's so important that we do that. There comes a time for speaking. There comes a time for sharing the Word of God. But let's face it, if you're working on a job, you're going to be with these people every day for long periods of time. And spiritually nagging them, more often than not, they're just going to click, turn you off. But as you live your life before them day by day, it's going to make an impact on them. It's going to make an impact. And there will be those whom the Lord will present as an opportunity for you to witness to verbally. Some good habits to develop on the job. Don't do just what is the minimum required to get by. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. And that'll help your testimony a lot. Don't be a constant complainer on the job. It's so easy to get caught up in that trap. Constantly, constantly complain. Everybody does. Everybody complains. There's plenty to complain about. As a Christian, don't be a constant complainer on the job. It'll only hinder and hamper your testimony. Be honest. It almost seems to go without saying, but it doesn't go without saying. Paul wrote to the Christians and told them that they were to be honest. He told them that in Thessalonica. Be honest on the job. Have a good testimony as being an honest worker. And your employer will appreciate that. And it'll do much for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be just a clock watcher. I remember when I used to work at a particular place, it was the big thing, you know, see who could run to the clock the fastest, to the punch-out clock, to the stop clock. Everybody be watching, trying to see who could beat each other in the line to get to the clock to punch out first. Don't be just a clock watcher. And don't be just an eye pleaser. We've already talked about that. Two dangers to avoid, I think, concerning the job. Number one, my job is everything. My job is everything. And don't misconstrue what I've said. I think that it is important that we have the balance between the corporate life, the body life of the church, when we come together, when we meet together, and when we need to come together for strengthening during the week and for mutual encouragement and the preaching of the word and prayer and all these things. That is important. And I'm not saying we should work to the exclusion of that. We can get into a place where our job does become a god to us, and our job begins to take the place of rightful service in other areas to the Lord. And that can happen. That can certainly happen. Our job is certainly not everything, but then neither is our job nothing. And I think far more people get caught up into that trap, thinking that here I am working for this man every day. I'm working at this secular job, and I'm not really accomplishing anything for the Lord. I'm not serving the Lord here. What am I doing? What am I doing? My job is meaningless. It's the same old, day to day, the salt mine, the daily grind, whatever we want to call it. No, if you're in the Lord's will, if He's placed you in that place, then your job is meaningful. You may not see the immediate results of it, but don't forget, and this covers so many areas of the Christian life, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. The Lord is taking note, and the Lord knows, and the Lord sees. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, The Lord is so good. He saves us. He forgives all our sin. He gives us this position in Himself, seated with Him in heavenly places, such an exalted position. And not only does He save us, but yet He allows us to serve Him. He gives us the great privilege and responsibility of serving Him. And I think the only thing that we have to remember is we don't just serve the Lord in church, so to speak, on Sunday or on Wednesday or on these other times. We serve Him day by day and moment by moment. Day by day and moment by moment. There was a little book written by a Catholic monk hundreds of years ago called Practicing the Presence of God, written by Brother Lawrence. And he talked in there about how he could practice the presence of God while he was washing the pots in the kitchen. He made some very good points in the book about practicing the presence of God. And I think we as Christians need to do that, to practice that moment-by-moment consciousness and awareness of the Lord in our lives.